This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN on a Friday, May 30th. I'll tell you what, Knicks controlled it wire to wire. They fooled Fred Carson, amazing. Man that had been on an absolute heater and decided to go with Indiana yesterday. Well, I'll tell you what, it was all Knicks. They were back home and things went well. We'll see how good it goes for them in Game 6. It certainly looked like some members of the Pacers were already looking ahead to that. Had kind of chalked up last night as a W. Now, maybe I'm, as an L, excuse me. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Could be. But I tell you what, Knicks did a great job, especially defensively, on Tyrese Halliburton. Man, we were calling the superstar yesterday. What is he now? It was some of these kinds of performances that people were saying is the reason he's not a superstar. So we'll discuss that. Knicks get the win, extend, obviously, this series 3-2. And we will. We'll talk about that game. We'll talk about, you know, what's the best matchup, I suppose. I think John and I have sort of laid that down. I like Pacers as a matchup, but maybe the Knicks showed us something. Brunson still showed us there's something still in that tank, didn't he, last night?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Be careful. That's all I'll say. Be careful. You start letting that team believe it can do it now, going back to Indy where, you know, coming off a game where Halliburton took three shots or whatever it was. Be careful. I don't feel great about the Pacers right now. I'll be honest. I mean, that's probably the nature of 3-2, but I don't know. It just feels like they wrested back momentum of this series, you know, in a way that was different than when Boston won their game 5, because we know Boston was hampered. We know Boston didn't have Jason Tatum. That felt less like a last stand than it did like we're coming back for this series and we're going to see you in game 7 in the Garden. But could be wrong, but I just felt like New York kind of imposed their will last night and they could do it again.
They did do that.
They could do it again tomorrow. We shall see. So anyway, we'll get into all that today here on the show. Got three guests today. 11:25, we're going to be joined by Anthony Sain. Get his thoughts on what the Grizzlies are going to do this offseason, these NBA playoffs, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Lots to get to with Anthony Sain. He'll join us at 11:25 from the Anthony Sain Show. 12:25, 12:30 or so, Jeff Calkins is going to join us. We were off Monday, obviously, so we are going to reschedule him for today at 12:30. And then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by Parth Upadhyay, who had the news that, I guess everybody had the news, AAC is going to have their tournament for the next 3 years. Next year in Birmingham, next 2 years after that will be in Tampa, not Memphis. Memphis put a bid in for the men. They didn't get it because the AAC cited, we want to keep our men and women in the same venue. They did that last year. I assume the whole time that they were in Dallas-Fort Worth. And so they're trying to keep with that. And given the constraints of the Grizzlies, it's not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to accommodate both here in FedEx Forum. And that's kind of the end of it there. So we'll talk to Parth Upadhyay about that at 1:25. So that is the show today. But yeah, last night, you wondered, would the Pacers be able to do it again? They put the Cleveland Cavaliers out in 5. They put the Bucks out in 5, I believe, as well. But it was not to be last night. The New York Knicks came out, and you said this. You said that you know, Times Square would burn Queens would burn if they didn't come out with this kind of effort. And from Jump Street, they pretty much did. They jumped on top of the Pacers last night. And Halliburton didn't look like himself the day after we come in here and crown him as a superstar. He looks terrible. Didn't even show up for the game last night. And I don't know. It was an out-of-body Pacers experience relative to, I mean, it was probably the worst game they played all playoffs if you go back and look at it. Just really were not in it. You know, I guess they cut it to 7 there late in the first half. But, you know, that was about the best of it from Indiana, man. New York controlled it. And, you know, I think if you're evaluating this series now, you have to feel a lot better about the Knicks' chances going into Game 6.
Well, especially if you consider what pointed out yesterday, that it should have been 2-2 with the Knicks taking a 3-2 lead if they win Game 1, which Indiana won in miraculous fashion, a fashion that we've never seen before. So we'd said that this series was close. And what I'd said, not just would New York burn if they laid down in the same way that Minnesota did on the road, mm-hmm. but I expected the Knicks to play well and win this game. That this was, you figured if there was anything left in the tank, which Brunson and Kat showed their words last night, and a lot more probably than even I expected, how they were able to, as you said, impose their will impressed me. The way Indiana let guys like Mikal Bridges just hold them. They, you know, Halliburton was okay with that. Yep. Just didn't, there were, you know, the Knicks controlled it, but controlled it defensively in a way they hadn't all series.
Yep.
That surprised me, but what didn't surprise me was the fact that you saw that effort. They were not going out with Spike Lee dressed in a freaking orange and blue suit. They were not going out last night on their home. That's what was different about this series and the OKC series where, yes, Minnesota's ready to put it to bed to go 1-2-3 Cancun. They've got every excuse. They're in, you know, Oklahoma City where these guys don't lose. And so last night was so much different that fashion, and they responded in wire-to-wire fashion. You are right. Indiana messes around or keeps thinking about tomorrow. This thing's going to be Game 7 back in New York, and you done blown this series.
No doubt.
That's what they're on the brink of. However, you know, and that's the part where Rick Carlisle's got to get it through. You know, Halliburton can't have a game. You can't be thinking like that. You can't be thinking about Dad in a Game 6 being there and maybe you having the chance to close it out with another 30-something point game and oh, how great that would be on the way to the finals when you've got an opportunity to close it out right now. And maybe that's something that SGA and some of those top guys, maybe he's the only one. Probably Jokic has got it right when he's got the chance if he's got enough around him. But that's something that they're at and capable of doing, shutting this down, and Halliburton's not yet. And clearly we did see the sayings in anybody who says that wants to say, and he's not the only one, Alan Hahn and everybody else, you know, have been saying, well, he's not quite there yet. There is a difference between him and an SGA, clearly.
Yeah.
When you have a performance like last night where he's okay with 8 points and just taking 7 shots.
Yep.
It was something I thought we saw a little bit too much of from Ant-Man
yeah.
in that series.
Yeah.
Was just a willingness to kind of say, no, just not my night.
Yep.
And so
yep.
that, you know, the way the Knicks sort of took some of that will. Now, again, and then the way some of those young Pacers, I think, were already, okay, well, we'll do this in 6.
Yeah.
You sensed some of that. You're playing with fire. You're playing with fire. And so, listen, I expect, you know, Indiana's going to be rocking. Who are the, you know, they'll have all the old Pacers out.
Yeah. Jermaine O'Neal.
They'll need him. The Davis brothers.
Ron Artest.
Dale Antonio.
Is Metta World
Ron.
Peace. Yeah.
Ron. Mark Jackson should be. Wasn't he a former Pacer at one point? Now, yeah. He's more Knick than Pacer, ain't he? So he would never do yeah. it. He would never betray the Knicks. I want to say. Now, did he spend more years as a Knick or a Pacer? Now, that's an interesting question on Mark Jackson. Because I wanted to.
It's probably close.
Okay.
It's probably my guess.
But bring out all your old Pacers. You know, John Halliburton will be up in effect, up in the suite.
Al Jefferson. Steven Jackson.
There you go.
Now we're cooking. Ian Mahinmi.
This, Paul George, bring him back.
Yeah, I think Paul George has kind of adopted them. I've seen, like, his podcast. Like,
he's with Halliburton.
But he's played for so many teams. I just.
Do you realize, and somebody else pointed this out on Twitter, that we are about to see the finals built on Paul George's back?
Damn.
OKC in Indiana?
Because of SGA.
And Halliburton. And so Halliburton comes off Sabonis, which came off Paul George.
Amazing.
How about that?
And meanwhile, Paul George never even.
He's close. Never been there. And they done built this up off of his dead back.
Well, because people just trick themselves into Paul George every time. They get intoxicated.
They built this with his DNA.
That's amazing.
A dude that's never going to make it. And you know, the SGA thing and the, was it seven picks and swaps?
I didn't even think about that, but that is like,
it's on Twitter. That ain't original from us. I've seen it all over Twitter that this was built off Paul George.
It's like the pursuit.
Both teams.
In the executive's eyes of a guy that's going to get you there, right, is what actually wound up getting the other teams to the finals.
It's unbelievable how many teams thought they were getting there with him.
Yeah.
And then decided, you know what? We can do better moving off and build a real future.
I mean, it feels like
Halliburton is one of those
Clippers teams should have gotten there. I mean,
oh yeah, oh,
Kawhi
no question.
Had the injuries and stuff.
And Halliburton's the thing for Sabonis, and you got to do that twice to make it happen. But still,
yeah,
still
no, that's amazing.
Still, yeah,
no, that's quite the fact. But yeah, I mean, I think I don't know, man. This Knicks team is so damn resilient. I just think the Pacers are in a place now where they have not been in these playoffs, which is what makes me nervous. They closed both of those other series out in five. There was no game six, good 3-2 going back. So that's the part of this that I'm also taking, knowing that and seeing, like, Nesmith only played 16 minutes last night. I don't know what was going on with him.
Man, give it to Brunson. Was 5-for-5 with Nesmith guarding him last night. Brunson changed everything, and him and the defensive end. His effort on the defensive end was better.
Yeah.
And he was the man that showed, you know what, I can't leave this all on Cat. Not in front of all these New Yorkers.
I'll tell you,
that was it. That was an MVP level.
It was.
Eastern Conference Finals MVP level performance from him last night.
It absolutely was. I mean, look, are guys like, Landry Shamet and DeLon Wright going to play well away from home? No, but they weren't really playing that well. I mean, Shamet had 5 last night. I mean, it's not like they were lighting it up.
He got a big turnoff off your man. McConnell and him were battling that was like the... Right, the super role player battle.
It was,
or something.
It was.
And it was intense.
Very intense.
Throwing off each other, whatever. Shamet screaming at him. McConnell like, wah! Because he's Mr. Intense.
But if you
off the bench.
I mean, if you'd have told me that the Pacers got 23 points from Bat Mathurin, 8 from Ben Shepherd, 11 from Obi Toppin, 6 from Jairus Walker, I'd have said they won this game in blowout fashion. Instead, they got dominated and blown out themselves because their starters were so – Miles Turner was ineffective as hell. He couldn't catch the ball.
It wasn't just Halliburton. A lot of their starters were bad.
And you saw that we got our Greg Doyle moment. We got our Greg Doyle moment with Pascal.
With
Pascal. Yeah. We're good for one of those a year. We got Caitlin last year, if you remember that one,
where he said,
give me the heart and we'll be just fine. Which got him suspended from fever games for an entire year, basically a restraining order.
Well, and kind of labeled just if there wasn't already, just kind of a weirdo.
Yes, yes.
Sort of in terms of by those athletes in
absolutely.
That area.
Yes.
You know, the
yes.
Yeah.
He asked the LeBron question. Superstars become superstars. What's
Man,
going on?
I've never known where that came from.
That's Greg Doyle.
I thought that was a brother.
No, let me try to
I
do it.
I thought the whole time that was a brother saying, what's going on?
I can damn near recite it from memory. I can damn near recite the Greg Doyle LeBron question from because this was like, I don't remember exactly what the game was or whatever, or, you know, what part of the series it was, but it was like it was 3 games in a row for you. Fourth quarter, not much. That's when superstars become superstars. Seems like you're kind of shrinking from it. What's going on?
So, I mean, he essentially asked the same question last night. This is his MO.
Greg was an interesting fella because, like, if I was ever filling in for Gary, he would ask who was doing the show, and then he would never come on if I was filling in. I don't know what his agenda was. Maybe he wished I was Caitlin Clark. He would have done it.
It was difficult producing the show with him as a guest.
Yeah.
So he just asked the same version, the same question, what's going on to Pascal last night?
That's exactly right.
Because he said, what's going on with the effort? Why would it not be more than the Knicks? Well, bruh, it's basketball, and we feel like we played hard, but they played harder.
Yes.
They're in a must-win situation.
Right.
What do you expect?
He was like, how can that happen
it's the
in a
same
game
question.
Five?
Come on, bro.
And it's like, dude, you cannot, that's the one thing about playoff basketball you cannot simulate is desperation.
Did you hear when Pascal said, who is this guy?
Yes.
And it sounded like they gave him an answer. He said, oh.
Yes.
Like he knew
yes.
already.
Right.
I'm dealing with him.
No, he was like, you good, bro? Like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah, I know. Now, he was trying to reason with him.
He was. He's like, did you lose a bet on him? Like, what happened?
Mean, Pascal, I thought Pascal was trying to be so polite at first. I thought, look, bro, what do you want me to say? If their effort was better,
Yep.
Yeah, well, ours wasn't good. That, right. I mean, that's the quote he wants. But he's looking forward. We dogged it. Right. We're looking ahead too much to Game 6.
Right. Right.
And that's why he asked the question the way he did.
Yeah. It was a bizarre effort from the Pacers. It was a bizarre question afterwards. And I don't know. I mean,
well, yeah. In a lot of Brunson, 3 of 14 in terms of holding Indiana. Mm-hmm. Now, usually he'd been getting abused. He held them to 3 of 14. Is what I'm saying. Goes 5 of 5 against Neesmith. He flipped the script last night in a way that threw their game plan. Everything they and you, did you see it? Mikal Bridges is literally holding Haliburton, like just holding him like a wrestling move.
Yep.
You know, daring them to call it, but like I'm not about to let you get loose. But here's the thing: Haliburton was too cool with it. He was. I'm telling you, he's already like, man.
Yep.
We gonna close this out in 6 with Dad sitting up there in the suites, and you know, we'll take care of business then.
Yeah.
And that's again, SGA hadn't shown that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd been 30 point in the closeouts. Now he had to go 7 with you know with Denver.
Yeah, he did.
Because you had a champion on the other side.
That's exactly right.
But man, I'm telling you, man, Indiana's playing with fire.
I agree with you.
Their coach better talk.
I agree with you.
Talk that finality into him in this next one, because Charles is right in the end. This is a must-win for Indiana. Some people push back on that in the sense, well, they've got two chances,
They do technically have two chances.
But, bro, this goes back to New York. It's going to be the same thing I felt about last night's game.
Right.
Like, there's no way they're letting that happen in front of all those people. Now, anything can happen in the Game 7, but the Knicks will have all the control at that point.
And this series
has not been one-sided.
Yes.
It's been close.
It's been very close.
So, of course,
I mean,
the
Game
Knicks
1, we know how miraculous that was.
Knicks going to have all the momentum and advantage back at that point, John.
I agree with you. I've been thinking about
with fire.
I don't want to overreact emotionally to what we see, like, because that is where you get in trouble on NBA. Because like blowouts happen, you know, and you can come back the next game. Like OKC, right? They lost by
42, or
and
whatever,
then they come back the next game, and it's like it never even happened, you know. Mm-hmm. Like so, I will say, it feels like it's kind of regressing to the mean of what these two teams actually are, which is the Knicks have better players. Like they just do. They have. Their best is better than Indiana's best. Now, Indiana has more, but
well, that's fair.
You're talking about the playoffs where it's about the guys, like the dogs.
Definitely Brunson.
Yes.
It's because he's more consistent than Haliburton.
And he's never going to not show up. He's never going to have a game like
this
that.
This was Halliburton's 13th game, single-digit game this year. They're 3-10 in those games. So the folks that are holding that against him and say, well, this shows he's not a superstar. I mean, that's good.
That's right.
It's a good argument.
That's right.
And there is another level that he is not on.
And what's weird about him is that he shoots the ball better away from Indiana. Like his percentages.
Well, then how
are
you
better.
Only taking 7 shots? You took 23 the night before.
I don't know.
Or two nights before.
Because 2 nights before, he was as aggressive as we've ever
seen
him.
That's what I'm saying.
You know.
And you go down to 7, and what can be a closeout for you? This was a free swing, a chance to take it, just go out firing on the road. This one was for a free swing.
I thought they had it in him. I did.
And so why not take another 20-some again? You tell me how good he is on the road in terms of shooting the ball.
No, it was. I honestly thought they left the door open. And
that's what
I think
I'm saying.
The Knicks are the kind of team that will take that opportunity and kick it in.
And he might not have that killer instinct yet like that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think this is certainly going 7. And if it's going back to New York for Game 7, the Knicks are winning it. That's just where that is. So it was a weird game. I guess there was a game for the Pacers against the Cavs. Game 3 against the Cavs. They lost 126 to 104. That was 22. What was last night?
111-94. Yeah.
17. So, yeah, not quite as bad, but you know, given the context, I just expected a lot more from them.
I mean, all four or five starters were in single digits for the Pacers.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
Pascal's the only one double digits.
Yeah, this series has been, it's delivered. I mean, every game except for last night was like nip-tuck. That one was where the Knicks imposed their will.
In the Benedict Mathurin thing, man.
Yeah.
So, weirdly, he became like, first guy get 20 in 12 minutes or something. I saw some weird stat real quick, even though there was one side or whatever, but he had 23 off the bench. It was all real quick. It was weird. He's like instant offense.
He is totally instant
but
offense.
But he will kill you defensively.
Yep. Yep.
And I suppose that's why he's not, you know, he's not the sixth man all the time for this team.
100%. 100%.
But dude is weird with his instant offense and, yeah. Got the body to be good defensively.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
It was an interesting game 5 last night. The Eastern Conference Finals go on, which means good for us, fewer days between the finals, right? So we got one more game.
Yep.
It'll be a Saturday, right? If a game seven is forced, that would be Monday. I'd take a game seven, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think that game seven would actually be insane between those two.
Well, teams. It's probably the biggest ticket in Knicks history, I'll tell you that right now.
Yes.
And I think those tickets probably fluctuated, right? Because it feels like the at the start of the series, yes. It was nuts.
Yep.
When they go down.
Yep. Less of a hot ticket.
It didn't feel like it was yesterday. I mean, Brad was reading some. The number was still high, but I can't imagine it was where it was to start the series. You go to seven, my point, it jacks up to its highest.
Yes.
It's back to its highest point, and that will ever been it have been in Knicks history.
Exactly. And I know that like people will say that the NBA doesn't care about this, but believe me, they want the Knicks to go through.
I mean, look at what it's got to doing the Hollywood people that are right there
exactly.
in the middle of it.
Exactly.
They've got all of them in New York, you know. Everybody
There's
wants
no
to be
famous
seen
people
there.
People that are going to be at the Pacers games.
Man, 50 was there with the. Did you see his shirt?
That was just a stunt, man.
What a shirt, man!
What did it say? Free Diddy?
Yes, man.
That's
crazy. Dude will he will troll
now?
But I guess he's got his reason.
Rostradamus does not think the feds have a great case on Diddy.
Bro, I don't. They have what they've charged him with. I'm not sure is what they're proving.
Yeah.
Do you understand? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that mischarged? Or,
yeah.
I mean, he's clearly a criminal.
Right.
In terms of some of the things he did.
Right.
Or he's, I should say, excuse me, he's a criminal activity.
Right.
Appears to have participated.
Right.
But what they have charged him with.
You got to be able to pin
him on the
things you're charging him with.
Doesn't seem to match necessarily.
Yeah.
With all, this thing's going to go on forever, it feels like.
Yeah. I mean, it started earlier this month, didn't it?
I mean, how much money, can we say how much money, are we serious here? The feds are spending on this.
Yeah. Crazy.
For this dude.
Yeah, it's not.
Acting like he's freaking Gotti.
Yep.
And I don't mean yo.
Yeah. John.
I'm talking about John.
Like the real Gotti. Yeah.
Although, never mind. I get myself in trouble there, too.
Nope. Yeah, you don't want to get caught slipping on the Memphis Airways.
Well, acting like he's Tony Soprano.
Yeah, and he loved the Joker. He loved the Joker as
what
well.
What it appears was he was nasty.
Very nasty. Depraved
and violent towards women,
a deviant in many ways,
but nasty. What your grandma will say, nasty,
yeah, absolutely.
Stay away from him,
absolutely. So we'll get into all that with Jeff Calkins at 12:30. Get his thoughts on the. Do you think he's up on the Diddy trial?
I wouldn't even ask him. I don't know his. Who knows?
I think that might be out of his jurisdiction. I think he is up to speed on Stephon Diggs though. I do know we got him there.
I heard,
but I think the Diddy thing is going to be a little too far gone.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna be comfortable there. Swimming in those waters.
He might still be in
swimming
Puff Daddy time, like you know,
swimming in those oils.
Yeah, he hasn't got there quite yet. No,
nor am I.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
No, I hear you.
Some of this stuff is scary, bro.
It is that. It is. All right, we'll come back. Anthony's hanging to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the series, the finals, SGA. By the way, Brunson way more guilty of the foul baiting than SGA, but nobody ever talks about that. That's how when I'm watching.
That's a take.
When I watch Brunson, that is what I think. I think this guy baits a foul every single possession.
He doesn't have 6'5", 6'6", to sell. I mean,
that's
it,
true.
You know?
That's true. We
and they're pounding.
We
him.
Give him more sympathy because he's small. He's got small person privilege.
What I've seen is he does throw bows.
He'll throw
a bow into your chest to create that extra space to get that little shot off.
But, like, even Sabrina Ionescu made an SGA joke yesterday. Like, her teammate, Breonna Stewart, shot 16 free throws, and she muttered under her breath, SGA.
I know my son. Again, he sent me another one about SGA bait or something.
I mean, who shoots more free throws a game, Brunson or SGA? We need to look that up.
SGA got to be up there. Yeah, I would think SGA is number one, but Brunson plays in a I was about to say physical East. It gets physical in the playoffs.
Yeah, so I'm just going to use this series. So I mean,
it's probably close on both.
It's very close. I'm pretty sure. So
this is not something where one's going to be way out ahead of the other one.
Brunson is shooting 9 free throws a game in this series, and SGA shot 10 a game against the Timberwolves. So it is very similar. 9 against the Nuggets. Brunson shot just 7 a game against the Celtics. So they're similar, but I guess SGA does take 1 or 2 more a game.
Mm-hmm.
But it still feels like Brunson never gets the heat that SGA gets, man.
Probably not. Not definitely not the same amount.
I can't stand watching Brunson play sometimes, bro.
Bro, that man got little man post-up game.
I know, but when he's doing
you
that,
you have to respect.
Now, when he's doing that, it's great. But like
what he does off his pivot foot is unbelievable for his size.
It's smart. Like he gets in the third quarter, he starts.
Now you're talking about when he's bumping and all that and getting down.
That's usually later in the game when he's just like out of, you know. It's smart. I just hate
Dude,
that it gets
caught.
Well,
I mean, Chris Paul did all that little stuff. Brunson, Chris Paul did all that stuff to get some of those shots.
And
up.
We hated Chris Paul, man.
Couldn't stand him.
We hated him. And
now,
I feel
he was he would spit on you too.
He was nuts.
You know, Chris had a little nutsy side.
But anyway, we'll talk to Anthony Sane about all this and more on the other side. Stick around, Jason and John, 99.5 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Anthony Sane is the host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. Make sure you are checking it out. He is the underground king of Memphis sports media, tropical chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, and father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. Follow him on X at Sane Asylum. He joins us now like he does every Friday. Sane, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm good, man. How y'all doing, Jason? How y'all doing, man?
All right. Everything's all right. I don't know. Kind of holding out and hoping that we may get a... Maybe we get 7 games out of this Pacers Knicks series. What say you?
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath on that, man. I think we're the way that we've kind of downplayed a historically good team like the Thunder are has been pretty funny to me, man. Like that team is, they're doing what teams of that ilk do, you know, in the playoffs, right? They pretty much handle teams, and I think outside of, I think in the second round series, that. Dealing with the Denver altitude and just playing with a team that's got that many vets for the first time in this run, those type of things can kind of cause you to stagger a little bit. But once they got their foot under them, you know, they put Denver away as well. But I think we're looking at a team that's, you know, you're looking at a team that does what historically good teams do. I think this Pacers team is a good team. I think it's kind of all kind of relative to what the East is in the NBA right now. But I they look good against other teams kind of their same ilk in the East. But I think once they get against the Thunder, I think it's going to be a pretty quick and easy series for Oklahoma City for real.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually was trying to get it. I was trying to get to it being interesting against the Pacers. And then when they did that last night, I'm like, oh, bro. I think
it'll be
interesting.
If you
can put up stinkers like that,
that's fair.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you're going to be able to, like, because it's got to be 48 every time against that Thunder team, bro. Like, no lows allowed.
If you get down by 10, you get down by 10 to the Thunder, in a few seconds, you're going to be down 30.
Exactly. It's a wrap. Like,
yeah, they're not going to screw around with you like the Knicks have done and kind of leave a window, or Cleveland leaving that window open for you to come back. If the Thunder gets you down, you're losing bad. Like, so, yeah, I'm with you on that for sure.
Yeah. Halliburton seemed to kind of lay down.
Yeah,
to
bro.
Pressure from Bridges last night.
This is who Halliburton has been, bro. This is why, all these superstar conversations they have about him. I'm not a hater, bro. Like, I want to see – I love this resurgence of the young players in NBA. Seeing four teams that have never been there before, four young stars, I love all that, man. But people who are acting like, well, oh, where are all the people who said that Halliburton is overrated? Here's one right here, man, because he's very overrated. He's not the tier star of the other four guys that are playing in the conference championship. I know he's had some crazy games. I know he's hit some big, huge shots throughout these playoffs. But he's also the guy that will go out there and give you 8 points. And he's done that maybe two or three times these playoffs. You know what I mean? He's a very inconsistent player. He's a star. Don't get me wrong. He's a star player. But people are, like, stamping, like, future face of the league. And, oh, he's a superstar. Like, he's not that level of player, man. And check my FanDuel. It'll definitely tell you that Tyrese Halliburton will drop several eggs in a row for you. Just check my FanDuel history. That I definitely confirmed it.
I mean, I will say this. Ja Morant would have never had a closeout game like that.
Nah, he would have lost his mind.
Would he have made it to the game 7?
No. He
wouldn't have made it to the game 7. That's the only part about it,
man. It would have been his last game.
He would have closed it. Better close him out.
Hey, y'all know we talked about this.
Everybody's always like, you don't want to let it get back to the other team's place. And with Jive's like, he's going to get hurt. You better close it out.
Well, John was gone saying last week. So you John was gone last week. So you were saying we were talking about this last week.
I was just talking about so many things that we talk about the Grizzlies need. Like, we need this, we need that.
Right.
At the end of the day, man, if John can't give you 65 games a season.
Right.
And give you, and we were trying to do the math, right? I was just kind of making assumptions, Jason, about how many games Jaws, the most he's played.
Yep.
I said, well, the most maximum games he could have played is 14, because he's never made it out of the second round. So the most that he could have played in any playoff season is 14 games. I actually, like, looked it up. Take a guess at how many games is the max amount of games Ja Morant has played in the postseason.
In the postseason?
Yep, take a guess. Don't look it up.
It was that 2022 year. Where he played, like,
and how many was it? How many games you think it was? Like, total games he played, the most games he's ever played in a playoff
season. Seven.
It's nine. Nine games is the most games he's ever played in a postseason, and, like, he's gonna have to be available for more than that, man.
That's pretty good.
Nine games,
man,
bro.
Little baby. We gotta grow. We gotta play the whole thing, bro.
Yeah, that's part time playoff time, man.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that to knock Jaws, really, but it's just what it is.
That, like, man gets so much done in so little time.
I'm with you, because I think too many of us just dismiss it and just as he's a super. But this not being there is a huge part of joining the rest of
him. He has to be able to play. What would we be saying about Oklahoma City if Shea only
100%.
Played nine games?
Well, we would be saying
they're not ready. We'd be saying
they'd be gone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they'd
be gone. And they wouldn't have won 68 games in regular
season. We wouldn't be praising a Isaiah Hartenstein or a –
No, you're right.
We wouldn't be praising those type of signings. We wouldn't be praising the trade that got them – I can't think of his name.
Caruso.
The defense. Yeah,
Caruso. You wouldn't be talking about none of that, because they wouldn't have Shea and they'd be losing.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So it's like
underrated piece. SGA played 76 games in regular season.
Halliburton the last 2 years has played just for as much as we bring him on down. And Sane's right, and he's too many single-digit efforts. And last night was a sign of that he's not ready.
Yeah.
But Halliburton's out there, though. He's out there, though.
Yeah. Ja will never play 76 games in the regular season for the rest of his career. I would bet against it.
He's gonna have
not
to
if
though,
we
man.
Don't change the game.
It,
we gotta change the game. Go some mid range, like I'm watching in all these playoffs. Yeah. Saying Jalen's doing it. Obviously SGA's doing it. But I'm seeing young players. Halliburton using the mid range of the night he was aggressive. Not last night, but. Like you've said that for a long time, man. There's a space for him to operate in that mid range, man.
For sure, man.
And that will keep you on the floor.
Yeah, and he's got to do it. And I had this conversation with some Grizzly fans on Twitter the other day, and I was saying, when I put out a tweet saying that regardless of what the Grizzlies do this offseason, Ja's got to give you 65+. He's got to be able to play the entire playoffs.
Got to.
He's got to, you know, I said these things, right? A guy was like, are you blaming Ja for Lou Dort undercutting him? I said, totally no,
oh,
I'm not.
Gosh.
But to try to jump over Lou Dort in a playoff game, knowing he's a madman, was not the smartest decision Ja could have made. You just can't do it, bro. And I said, and he's like, well, you know, you got to blame Lou Dort for whatever he did. I said, cool. Lou Dort's a dirty player. We've seen that in the playoffs. He ain't out there hurting Anthony Edwards because it's hard to hurt a dude when he's shooting middies and he's shooting threes and he's dropping floaters.
And he's, built, only taking, and he's 235 pounds.
Like. Right. That's the other part about it.
I'm just saying, though, bro, you're not seeing Anthony Edwards is known for dunking on dudes. You ain't seeing him trying to clear Lou Dort.
Yep.
You ain't seen
him
in the
playoffs. He tried once.
And Dort stopped him. But that's but saying the difference. Dude's 6'5". You said it, too. He's 230. Yeah. He can put up one of those. And but Ja can't.
You're right.
Because it dislocates Ja's hip when he gets hit like that.
He's got to protect
in the
his
Lakers
body,
game.
Man. Real talk. He's got to develop a style of play that protects his body. I'm not saying don't dunk. Because when he was doing the thing, oh, you know, I'm not dunking no more. Bro, if you're on a fast break, if it's, you know, you and another guy, he throws you an alley, you got a highlight play, do the highlight play, bro.
Right.
But you got to pick your spots. You know what I mean?
Day.
Don't.
All day.
Trying to jump over dudes' heads is madman talk, bro.
And look, it does happen.
That is the key, man.
Steph had the hamstring strain off a regular move, right? Like it was not.
Yep.
But you know, those are the ones that you can live with because it's like within the context of a normal basketball move. You know what I mean? Like,
and his first one ever.
Then it's his first one ever, and he's like 40 years old. So of course, at some point, your body's gonna break down and fail you. But yes, I mean, look, I agree. Like I was reading this Ringer ranking. And they called Ja like a high flying airbender. I'm like, bro, he's not that anymore. Like, I mean, he can do some acrobatic things, but like he's not the same player even from 3-4 years ago. But yes, you'd still like to see it, you know, notch down a little bit. And I think that's the hard part.
He's got to be responsible for his own body. Now, I know there've been incidents like the hard screen that popped his shoulder back out, like those type of things, right? And like the Lakers thing, it's debatable about whether Koloko, you know, undercut him or not, or whether it was a bad pass by Jake and a bad attempt to try to catch that ball by Ja, whatever. But there are instances where Ja has to protect his body, man.
Yes.
And if he adds that, and if he adds that mid-range game consistently, not only is it adding his body, it just makes him that much more unguardable.
Yes.
Like he doesn't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about crying about a foul call and not getting back on D. If he's got that mid-range jumper or that floater going, he can kill guys. He can get that shot off whenever he wants because he's shown that he can get that shot and make that shot consistently. He's just got to do it, man. He's just sold on getting to the basket and worrying about a foul call. But he's going to have to expand his game. And I feel like this is the summer, man, where he kind of feels that. And I think that he's got I think it would be silly to think that Nike isn't applying some type of pressure on Ja. Like, bro, do everything you can to stay on the court. I mean, because if you're not – we can't sell the Ja All-Star shoe if you're not an All-Star, right? And we can't sell playoff shoes if you're not an All-Star, if you're not, you know, playing in the playoffs, you know what I mean? Because there are definitely, you know, Ja shoes that the Ja 2s that they want to clear out, you know, to get eyes in front of those. They're just going to be standard releases now since Ja got put out of the playoffs early. And he debuted the Ja 3, you know, for, what, 2 games in the playoffs. So – he's going to have to I'm sure Nike is applying pressure to him to get on the court and stay on the court.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the Grizzlies are doing it. I just don't is there somebody in that organization that's going to say that and it's different this, you know what I mean, where it really makes the change to your point where it's not just me saying, "Hey, I'm not going to dunk anymore," and it becomes a thing but we see you still are where it's like it has to be one of the franchise's priorities. And so it seems like to me you'd have somebody on him about that every single day. Because like we all said, saying it doesn't – I mean, you hit the nail on the head, brother, last week. It doesn't matter about any of this other stuff, big three, supporting cast, any of it, if he's not out there enough. And that has been
because you don't have those,
the issue.
You won't have those conversations about anybody else. If any other team loses their best player, you're going to say they didn't make it because their best player went there. Nobody's saying, man – the Warriors need more help. No, they needed Steph Curry. Like, and it's just
that's
like
right.
We have these conversations about all these other things we need. We have to address the fact that Ja Morant has to play more basketball for us to be good, man, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Talking to Anthony Saint, catch him on the Anthony Saint show every day now, right? Or when is that's going on correct now, Saint?
Yeah, man. I just got back from vacation. I took a week off this week. I just got back in town Wednesday night. Of course, not doing anything today. Took this whole week off, but starting Monday, man, June 2nd, Anthony Sane Show. We'll run Monday through Friday starting at 2 p.m. You can catch the podcast anytime. I'll be live at 2 p.m. Haven't done any live daily programming in a while, for at least 2 or 3 years. So I'm getting back into that groove, man. I'm excited about it. I hope the people that have been rocking with me for the years, people who know me from you guys' show coming every Friday, will continue to rock with me over on Anthony's show daily. Like I said, I've been doing it for a couple of years now as a bi-weekly show every Wednesday, every Friday, and it's been pre-recorded. Now we're going live, man, and I'm super excited about it.
Dig that. All right, so in terms of, moves, I brought up a joke tweet yesterday that somebody sent out. Was like, after watching this Thunder series, I now feel confident the Grizz are only 2 veteran pieces away from losing in 6 to the Thunder instead of 4. I also saw yesterday that the Lord and Savior, Tariq whatever the hell his name is, he got hurt.
Benovich.
He got hurt yesterday and carried off.
Benovich.
So I guess we can cross that one out. In terms of activity, what kind of activity, how much are you expecting for the Grizzlies?
Let's start off with the Tariq Bibarovich deal, right? I've never seen a news blurb that never even made domestic traffic get that much attention by the Grizzlies. I mean, if you think about it, in the past, we've seen that the Grizzlies are about to sign, what's his name? Joe Ingles was a name at one time, right? The Grizzlies about to sign Joe Ingles. The coach of that team that Bibarovich plays for, there was a rumor that the Grizzlies assigned him to be their next coach. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. We've heard T.J. Smalls or T.J. Shorts, whatever his name
one.
Is.
Yeah.
We've heard his name. We've heard the other guard that played for Coach Isolo's team. And it's like, it's just a bunch of like stuff that comes out to try to get these guys' attention by their current team, to try to get them a deal, try to get them attention by some other team. None of this stuff actually has legs to it, bro. Like Tariq Bibarovich does not play for the Grizzlies. Like, and there was there opportunity he possibly could have made the team this year? Possibly, but that's not something they would determine now. I don't think there was. I don't think that the Grizzlies would be giving him a contract now for that, right? So, I also don't even think they're able to at this point. I'm not sure. And if you talk to the Chris Harrington of the world or the Michael Coles of the world, they're all saying that it was kind of on the table, but it never was anything set in stone that guy was coming to the Grizzlies. You know what I mean? That's something they would have to reevaluate. So that's that on that. I wish him the best, and if he ends up playing for the Grizzlies, all right, cool, whatever. But acting like that was a done deal, that's not what the case was. But as far as the offseason, man, I think 2 things need to happen. I think the Grizzlies need to acquire 2 players this offseason. It's somebody that could – and y'all know my dream lineup for the Grizzlies is one where Desmond Bane comes off your bench and he's your super sub. I said that a lot this year, and I'm standing on that now. If the Grizzlies can make a deal that moves Jalen Wells down to the 2, you go get a guy that can defend and shoot 3s at the 3, who's your starting small forward. Move Jalen Wells down to the 2. Your starting lineup mimics a lot of other successful teams in the NBA, where you got two versatile defenders on your team, and especially when your 4-man is an actual 4 and not a 3. Most teams run a 4-man that can guard wings. That's not who Jaren is. And just having one guy out there in the perimeter that can guard guys, it's not a winning formula. Never has been, never will be in today's NBA. And that's what I think they need to get. They need to get a guy who can be a starter at the wing and another wing just like that, or not just like that, but another wing, a defensive-minded wing that can score, that can knock down 3s off the bench. With the news that I saw today from the New Orleans Pelicans, if you can go get a Herb Jones or I can't remember names, bro. Y'all know I'm bad at this. Trey Murphy.
Murphy, yes.
If you can get one of those type of guys here and then mess around and get like a Nikhil Alexander Walker or some other, you know, whatever, mid-range MLE level or room exception level wing on this team, I think you've had a very good offseason. And then you still would have, the ability to bring Jaren back this year if possibly with some of the things you can do to make room for him. So I think you need to do those type of things. Maybe another big, because you may lose Brandon Clark to acquire another guy. But I don't really think we have to do a lot of stuff, bro. You see a couple of guys who know how to play that are versatile defenders that match up with teams like Boston, match up with teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Knicks, the Pacers. All those teams have very versatile wings that can defend, knock down 3s, get up and down the court. You got to get some guys like that can play, or basically be what you thought Vince Williams and GG Jackson could have been for you last year. Those guys could still end up being those guys, but you need some guys who are ready to play now on this team.
Yep. John and I and the J&J front offices have zeroed in. We have identified P.J. Washington as a target of interest. What would you say about
him? I like him. I like him. A guy that can play up or down.
It's the three plays up or down. Yep. Rebounds, like you said.
He can rebound. Yeah, yep. I would love to get a guy like that. I don't know what the Mavericks are doing, man. The Mavericks are one of those sneaky teams that I could see doing something to make them more ready to contend, getting another ball handler on the team. I wouldn't be surprised to see look up and Dallas got like a Tyus Jones or something like that on the team, right? You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see them pull that type of move, something that kind of keeps them.
They're going
to
need him early, right? They're going to need him for a while, a guy like that.
Yeah, because you're not going to have Kyrie.
Right.
And that's a guy that when and if Kyrie comes back, you could just, you know, slide Tyus off the bench, and it's kind of probably a better role for him anyway. I could definitely see Dallas making that type of move.
Mike Conley.
For sure. Or even like a Dennis Schroeder or somebody like that in Dallas. I could definitely see them getting a guy who can kind of make them better, raise their floor over the offseason for sure. But like I said, man, I think that I think this is going to be a pretty active offseason for the Grizzlies. You got decisions to make with a guy like Santi Aldama. I think letting out Santi walk won't happen. And I don't particularly think that bringing him back means we see Santi being here for the long haul. I just think they may have to protect the assets, sign him, and then try to move him, you know, between now and February. But I don't think he's part of a long-term plan, but it doesn't mean that you let him go. You have to, you know, keep that asset to use it for something else, especially since you don't have many mid-level contracts on your roster for sure. But it's another interesting thing this offseason is, of course, the whole Jaren Jackson Jr. thing with his contract. And I'm sure that's a question y'all have, so I'll step back and hand the mic back to
you. Real quick on Mike Conley. Mike Conley, I was watching him when sitting next to Anthony Edwards.
It's time Mike's going to come sit with us, man. It's time Mike's going to start a podcast.
That's definitely what I wonder because, you know, Anthony Edwards was sitting there talking about the differences between them right now, how it doesn't hurt him because he's 23, whatever. He's got a bunch more chances. But, Mike, you're literally watching a guy that's now 0-3 in Western Conference Finals, right? The chance to go to the finals, and he just completed year 18. He's 37 years old, and while he's got one more year on his deal, you know, he just went scoreless in that game as a starter in 20 something minutes. So is that what you took from it? Is that even Minnesota sort of showed that they're kind of ready to move? I have to be ready to move on from him, even if he does have more in the tank.
They need to bust a move. That's the team. We're talking about Tyus Jones, right? That's a team that might need to go get a Tyus Jones, if at all possible. Because, Mike, you just can't depend on him being that guy, you know, for the long time. He's 37 years old, man. And that's a conversation I was having with you guys a few rounds ago in the playoffs about this Minnesota team, where that team, like, they're good. Like, right now, in the moment, they're good. But that team is an offseason away from not being really good at all. You know what I mean? Some things can shake wrong from this offseason, and they could go to crap. You know what I mean? Because Mike, like I said, even with him being bad, he makes that team good. Like, his minutes on the court are actually very good for them. But it's just a matter of how long they could keep him on the court because of his age and you know, his skills to plead and all those type of things. But they have to have – when that team had a D'Lo at the point, a scoring guard who was not a playmaker, who didn't keep the ball moving, that team struggled a lot, you know what I mean, when D'Lo was their starting guard. So, like I said, they're going to have to resolve the issue. Plus, they've got some things going on with Nikhil Alexander-Walker and also Naz Reid this summer as well. Big decisions they have to make with some of those massive deals, some of those massive contracts they have on their team.
Yeah. Sandy, you're the best, man. Appreciate
you, brother. Have a great weekend.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Like I said, we'll see y'all Monday, 2 p.m., Anthony Sands Show. Thank y'all for rocking with me. I'm talking to Jason and John. I'm talking to y'all now. Thank y'all for rocking with me all this time, man. Yeah, let's keep this going. This offseason is going to be fun. I trust that. Let's get to it.
You're the man.
Sounds good, brother.
Thanks, Sane.
Appreciate you, brother.
That's Anthony Sane from the Anthony Sane Show, going live every day starting on Monday. Yeah, we'll see. My hopes for big moves are – I mean, those make sense. Pelicans have a lot more on their plate than just those trades, by the way. I don't know if you saw the Zion Williamson lawsuit this morning. He is being accused of rape from his time at Duke.
Wow.
Yeah, so they got some things to figure out. I mean, it's just an accusation. We should say that.
Yeah.
And you know, you get due process.
Sure.
Sometimes in America. Not always, but sometimes. So, you know, I don't want to
They got
go
a lot.
Crazy. But
no, they got a lot, yeah, they've got a lot on their plate.
I wonder if that kind of complicates, because like obviously you're going to try to build around Zion, right? Like that in a. So now you know, is Zion even going to be on this team? You know,
That's what you should stop doing, is having any hopes of building around him.
Yeah, so he's never played in the playoffs, correct?
Doesn't feel like it.
I think that was the thing I saw the other day. Is like he has never been in the playoffs in his entire NBA career.
Yeah,
like maybe if the Pelicans made it, but he didn't play, right? Like I think I don't know. Maybe there was one postseason. He played. He did play. What didn't he play in one? I guess he didn't. Jeez, 23-24. Didn't they get swept by the Thunder? Was he not in that series?
I don't remember, dude.
Yeah,
that's his career.
Yeah,
you can't remember if he was out there.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. But yeah, I mean, I'd love Trey Murphy. I'd love Herb Jones. Like, sign me up.
They kind of fit the PJ Washington mold we're talking about.
Yeah,
they can play defense. They're bigs.
Yeah,
you know, they're versatile defensively. And they knock down the three.
I think that's
what you want. That is
exactly
so. Both of those guys.
I mean,
I'm with it.
Is Herb Jones going to win you a playoff series though?
What did Herb shoot last year from three? We talked about PJ being 38%.
I don't think it was as good as PJ.
And Trey's always been good.
He's only 31% from three.
See, that's why I thought Herb went down a little bit. So I'm gonna drop him of that on down out of those three to the. He's at the back of the pack of those three.
Yeah.
Trey Murphy's still up about around 40% his whole career, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a good career. It's just, you know, but for Herb, he's coming off that shoulder.
Herb's coming off the shoulder.
And then I feel like Trey's always been in the mid to high 30s, though.
Dude, Trey averaged 21 points last year.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he'd gotten that high. Now, he did it in 53 games.
Yeah, he was 36% last year and 38% for his career, Trey Murphy. But Trey's going to cost you a lot more than Herb Jones would.
Clearly.
I mean, I'm not even sure why they would want to trade Trey Murphy.
Like, none of you, I would have decided at this point we're going to have to move on and not have a future with Zion. So pieces like Trey Murphy III, I'd be even more interested in keeping. So
he's
24
and he's shooting 36% from three.
He's always been good for them.
Yeah, I think that's the guy. I would send out Herb Jones before I sent out Trey Murphy. You know, like, all right, if there's a team that's willing to give me something for Herb Jones. But it's like, you know, anytime there's a trade, it's like, why are they getting rid of him? You know,
how many Zion play this year?
Zion played
games. It's not getting better.
No, he played 70 last year, but somehow
that,
got
that
hurt.
That was the issue. He needed to come through like Jaren and sort of put this behind him.
Yeah. What happened? Oh, that's what it was. He got hurt. He got hurt right before the play-in. And you know, he never came back. So, yeah, tough one. It's just a tough deal overall, man. Tough deal overall. It might have been in the play-in that he got hurt against the Lakers. I think that's actually what happened. He got hurt at the end of that Lakers game, and they were hoping that it was minor and that he'd play in that series against the Thunder, but he didn't. So, pretty unfortunate there for him. Just never saw it. And it feels like now, you know, 7 years into his career, we're probably never going to see it.
Both these guys. 2019 guys, you know.
Yep.
It hadn't just been injury issues for Zion.
No.
It's been for us as well.
Yep.
And really, as we said with Zane, it's the key to the whole thing.
Yep.
Him staying on the floor, John Morant,
yep.
Same thing with Zion.
Who was the number three pick in that draft?
RJ.
RJ Barrett, okay. Yep. So he ain't really doing anything either.
No, he got shipped off to Toronto, the land of we forgot about you now.
Exactly.
They got all them forwards up there, all them swing men. They're stockpiling them. Scotty and there's somebody, a bunch more of them up there.
Darius Garland, top five. He's probably the guy that's
made the All-Star team this year.
If there was a redraft, dude, Jaden McDaniels went in the second round. Jalen McDaniels. Oh, that's his brother. Sorry. Wrong guy. But if there was a redraft, is Darius Garland going one?
No, Ja Morant's still going one. And you're going to hope that he has better health and makes better decisions.
You think so? You think
yes?
Going
absolutely. No. It could be. I mean, there are some GMs. It sounds like they're soured on him
I mean, he's a two-time All-Star.
You ain't got to tell me.
Ja too as well.
Look at the OK. Yeah. You had hope in the OKC series when he was on the floor. Hope at least
he figured him out.
Now, I'm not going that far.
He figured it out.
Dude, like, they don't make adjustments to your figuring them out, okay? Like, does Ja think the counter ain't coming back from Dagnon and crew once you figure him out? It's once and for all? What the,
no,
like, stop
over.
With that stuff.
He beat the game, man.
We keep acting like this dude beat the... Exactly. He beat OKC. He beat the game.
It's over, man. He got it.
He figured him out.
Dude, everybody knows
it was
that.
Over.
Everybody knows that.
We got the game credits and everything. They were about to scroll down if Ja had been on the floor. OKC was done. No adjustments were coming. He had figured them out.
There's going to be a documentary about it.
And he'll show us what the final plan was.
Because nobody else could figure him out.
No.
Denver couldn't figure him out.
And Minnesota series looked the same as us.
Indiana or New York's not going to be able to figure him out. Only Ja, only 12 did it. So, I mean, he'll just I guess he'll take the secret to the grave, man. I guess the world will never know what it was that he figured out. But they were up 29.
I'd like to see that documentary one day and see what that final plan was to take him out.
Exactly. Everybody knows it was going to be 2-2 going back to OKC. Hell, it was almost 3-1. Without Ja Morant. So he must have shared the secret sauce with the team. Because, I mean, Scottie Pippen had 30 on him. That was an inspirational game.
It really was.
I mean, I was like, all right, you know what? Scottie, you're not just a summer league merchant, man. You're something more. You know? You're something. You can be a real contributor in this league.
Yeah, Ja's confidence level is just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
If you could keep it out there, you could win a world championship.
That's right.
I truly believe that.
We're fine in the West. That one gets thrown at in his face every time.
Goodness.
Right? And then you're gonna have this one. We had OKC figured out. That's you know, again, that one, the first one is easily myth busted, right? You're not fine in the West by any stretch of the imagination. This one you'll never be able to bust. You know, they were up 29, 27 at the half. So,
Ja would have figured out Mike and Scotty and them back in 96. He had it. No problem. I would have figured them out.
Facts. Ja would have been
could be one of the best teams we've ever seen assembled this OKC team.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.